Hello and welcome to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Monger. He's the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. At Light the Way, we believe the most powerful tool we possess when sharing our faith with others is the Word of God. It was the Apostle Paul that said, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ." So as we open the Word together, it's our prayer that you'll not only receive what God has for you, but share what you learn with those you come in contact with. And now, here's Pastor Colin.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see you, and welcome. We're in the book of Romans this morning. If you have your Bible, we're in the book of Romans, chapter 14, and we're going to be continuing in our series called The New Normal. And that's because we're living in times that will present a new normal way of living for all of us. The coronavirus will change life as we know it. And so there will be adaptation, there will be change, there will be a new normal. So we're in the book of Romans, chapter 14. I want to talk about walking in love as being part of the new normal way of living. It's no secret that our society right now is very polarized. And some people would even go so far as to say that we are as polarized as America was during the Civil War. That we are as divided as a people as the colonies were during the revolution from Great Britain. It's no secret. There is division in the world right now. And oftentimes, as people, we divide over stuff that we shouldn't be dividing over. We divide over things like who we vote for. We divide over economics. We divide over our environment and how we use our natural resources. We divide over parenting. We divide over education and social justice issues. We divide over religion. We divide over where we get our news from. We divide over gender and social media. And the list goes on and on and on. And recently, our culture has been divided over the issue of coronavirus and what we're doing about it. Some people would say that the government has gone way too far. Other people would say it hasn't done nearly enough. There are people right now who are saying we should open up and other people who are saying we should stay closed. And then there are some who even say that this is all one big conspiracy. Here in our state of Pennsylvania, if you're following the news, you know that portions of our state have gone from the governor's red to yellow phase, and some counties that have remained red have decided that they were going to open up anyway. And so we have division in every level of life. And it's gotten to the point where cities are suing their states. States are closing the cities. People are at each other's throat. Neighbors are turning on one another. I was speaking with one of our local law enforcement officers this week here in the parking lot. It was actually, I believe, on Monday, and we were just talking about what was going on, and I was sharing with him our plans to keep doing these outdoor services until we can get back in the building, and they're good with that. But he was telling me that during this particular time, they have seen a couple of things kind of trend upwards. Domestic violence and neighbors complaining on one another. He said he went to a call not too recently where a neighbor looked out their window and they noticed more cars in the driveway than are normally there, and they assumed there would be more than 10 people in the home, and so they took it upon themselves to call the police. Well, the police don't have a choice but to respond, and it turned out there was nothing going on that was wrong, because the stay at home, the separation stuff doesn't apply in an individual's home. And so there was nothing that the people were doing that was wrong. But as they investigated, what they found out was it was even more innocent than that. It was a child's birthday party, and the people there were their cousins and their sisters and their direct family. But that's what we have gotten to in America. Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, a house divided cannot stand. And Paul says in Romans 16, watch out for those who cause divisions and avoid them. Did you know that when David was king of Israel, Israel was united? Solomon rose up and became king after him, and it was a great time of peace and unity. In fact, that was why Solomon was allowed to build the temple, was because his reign was filled with war, and Solomon's reign would be filled with peace and harmony, and it was that way until he died. And then his sons took over the kingdom, and they couldn't agree. And they argued, and they divided Israel. And even now, some 2,000 years later, although Israel is now one nation, they never again saw peace from that. In Proverbs chapter 16, it says, there are six things God hates. And it lists five. And on number six, it says, one who sows discord among his brothers. And so rather than sowing discord, rather than settling into a habit of bitterness toward one another, rather than becoming enemies with our neighbors, I want to encourage you to make it a new habit of normal living to walk in love, to walk in grace with one another. And that's what this message is all about this morning, walking in love with each other. And I think right about now we could be reminded of that because these are very stressful times. And people are on edge, and they are worried. I walked into a store the other day, and I can tell you that since we've had the mandatory masks in stores and stuff, I've been into a store maybe three times since then. It's not very often. I don't go out to the store to begin with very often, and even less now. And so I jumped out of my truck. I wasn't even thinking about it, and I didn't put on a mask. It was in my truck right there in the center console, but I wasn't thinking, no excuse, but I jumped out and walked into the business. I didn't get 12 inches across the threshold of the door before the clerk started screaming at me from behind the counter to get out of his restaurant and go back to my truck before I came back and to go get a mask. And that's what we're dealing with. And so I want to encourage you to be patient with people, to be gracious with people, to walk in love with people. Colossians chapter 4 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each other. It's easy to go off on someone. It's easy to lose our temper with someone and become hostile with them because they've done something we don't like. Maybe they were rude. Maybe they were hostile. It's not easy to walk in love. It can be hard, but we're not called to take the easy way out as Christians. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and few people will find it. And so do the hard thing. Walk the narrow path. Walk in love. Have grace with each other. Even when someone is getting under your skin, even when they're getting on your nerves. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 to bear one another's burdens. It's no secret. People will sometimes feel like a burden to you. Have grace with them. Walk in love with them. And that's why I've asked you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14 today, because in this chapter, Paul gives us some incredible instruction on how we should be walking in love with each other. And one of the very first things we notice about walking in love is that walking in love requires giving liberty to other people. Notice what it says in chapter 14, verse 1. So as for the one who is weak in the faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died, and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Back in the 1600s in Europe, there was major religious division going on. It was only about 100 years after the Reformation of Martin Luther, and that brought religion to the forefront of people's lives in ways that they had never seen before. Houses were against their neighbors. Whole areas were against whole areas. There was great division in this time. And so a German pastor decided that he would respond to that. And he goes by the name of Rupertus Meldenius. And Rupertus Meldenius wrote on a tract one time a phrase that would be cemented in history and quoted often. And it goes like this. In the essentials, have unity. In the non-essentials, have liberty. In all things, have charity. Or in other words, have love. There will be things in life that are not vital, that are non-essential, as they say, that good people of faith will disagree over. Right now, there is a major debate going on amongst pastors regarding whether giving communion over the internet is biblically correct. And there's different opinions and there's different views, and that's just one area where people differ. Other things like baptism and the end times and creation are all areas where different opinions tend to come out and different views, and that's okay. Somebody said one time, if two people agree on everything all the time, one of them isn't thinking. We're going to have a difference of opinion on some things than our fellow believers. We will have different views. We will have different perspectives. It will be important to us. And it's okay that we have different opinion. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. If it's one thing that we can learn about God's creation, and sitting out here right now, looking around at the leaves come in, and the wind blow, and the grass on the ground, is that God seems to enjoy variety. I was looking up this week and I found out that there are 12,000 different species of grass. There are 60,000 different species of trees and more than 4 million different species of flower. Did you know that in your Bible there were more than 40 different authors who wrote a portion of it? They used 3 different languages. That's why there's 4 Gospels. That's why there's 12 tribes. That's why we read about the variety of spiritual gifts. In Romans chapter 12, it says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, having gifts that differ. And the point is, that's okay. Every person will have a different relationship with God. Every person will have a different set of convictions. They will have different life experience. Every person will look at the world around them in a different way. That's okay. Did you know when you get to heaven, there will be people there that you did not agree with here on earth? And guess what else? You won't care. It won't matter. And so here Paul says in verse 7, none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And notice what he says about that very thing back in verse 3. Let no one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let no one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? In other words, just because someone doesn't think the way you do, in other words, just because someone doesn't act the way we do, they don't see life the same as we do, doesn't give any person a license to pass judgment. It says in verse 12, each of us will give an account to God. It says in verse 10, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Another way to put it would be this: walk in love. walk in grace, especially when it comes to people you might not agree with. Because walking in love requires giving liberty and making room for the differences that we have as children of Almighty God. Right now, our communities are filled with people who have different views about everything that's going on. Some people say that the politicians are doing the right thing. Other people say that they've done too much. Other people say it's not enough. Some are worried their freedoms are being taken away. Some people are worried because they might be at higher risk than others. Other people might not think that it's as bad as they say it is on TV. Other people say that it's their right to take the risk and take the chances with their own life. And in all of this difference and in all of this division, we see the claws start to come out. We see it on social media. We see the name calling, the insults. We see how people are short with one another. There's bitterness toward one another. There's protests and violence and rebellion in the news. And so I want to encourage you to walk in love, to walk with grace with one another, to make room for these differences that we're going to see, these different views, and understand that we might not look at things the same way as everyone else. That's okay. It's okay to disagree agreeably. And so walk in love, give liberty to others. The second thing we notice is that walking in love requires limiting our behavior for others. We give liberty to others. We limit our behavior for others. Notice what it says beginning in verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide to never put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is eating not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. There's an old saying that goes, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says something very similar. He says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And I think it would be good for us to be reminded of that, especially when it comes to a person's individual liberty, especially when it comes to our ability to do something that could have the potential to harm someone else, whether spiritually or physically. We need to be mindful of our actions that affect other people. There are some people who, for whatever reason it might be, it could be conviction, it could be a bad experience, it could be that they're susceptible to temptation. They don't do certain things that other people are free to do. A recovering alcoholic, for example, probably would not go into a bar. A person who's addicted to online gambling might choose to not have the internet. A person who struggles with anger because of political issues might choose not to have those conversations with other people. I might be able to go into a bar with no problem. I might be able to have the internet in my home with no problem. I might be able to discuss politics with no problem. And maybe it doesn't affect me like it does someone else. But because as Christians we walk in love, we limit our behavior. So we don't put our brothers and sisters in compromising positions. I would sacrifice some of my liberty in love for the other person. Be sure that in living your life, you don't let your liberty become someone else's liability. Freedom can become sinful if it's used in a way that brings harm to someone else. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Or consider what it says in Proverbs chapter 25. A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. And so we need to be mindful how our actions affect others. We need to be willing to walk in love by voluntarily choosing to limit our liberty and our behavior when it means it might bring harm to someone else. And right now, it could be more important than almost ever before in our lives. And that's because we're living in unprecedented times and people are scared. And that's understandable. And some people are more vulnerable. And some people are at greater risk. Some people are more susceptible to contracting this virus. And so it becomes an act of sacrificial love to limit our behavior in consideration for another person's risk and their fear, even if it's something we don't share. And so we do things voluntarily that might seem to go overboard. They tell us to stay home except when you have to. They tell us to avoid personal contact, to socially distance, wear masks when you go into stores. And we don't do it because we're forced to by the law. As Christians, we do it because we're walking in love. And that means limiting our behavior for the sake of other people. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. And so walking in love means giving liberty to other people. It means limiting our behavior for other people. And finally, we do it all out of a sense of genuine care about other people. Notice what it says back in verse 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. It might be a self-evident thing in a message called walking in love, but everything we do should be done in love. And I mean with a genuine heart, with a genuine care for our neighbor. That doesn't mean that we do it resentfully. That doesn't mean we do it angrily. That doesn't mean we do it hostily, but rather we do these things with an honest compassion for the people around us. We do it cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, God loves a cheerful giver. And so be a cheerful giver. Have you ever asked somebody for help and they agreed, but then the whole time they're helping, they're doing nothing but complain. And they're telling you how inconvenient it is and how they could be doing something else. Or maybe they start criticizing what you're doing and how you're doing it. And they make it clear that although they're there, their heart isn't in it. They don't want to be there. They'd rather be doing anything else in life at that moment. Don't be like that person. That's not encouraging. That's not building up. That doesn't help. That doesn't communicate love. In Psalm chapter 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. And so here it says, let us pursue what makes for peace and mutual upbuilding. We're not doing things in life because we have to. We're doing it because we choose to, out of love for our neighbor. And that means that we're not making people feel like burdens. That means that we don't make them feel like a problem or a chore. That doesn't build. That doesn't edify. And so consider that. If you're ever in a position where you really don't want to be there and you don't want to be helping, but you're there anyway, and you don't like what it is that you're doing, I want to encourage you to remember that. to remember that even though this may be a little inconvenience for you, you're helping someone who really needs it. Remember that you're showing them the love of Jesus through your action, that you're coming alongside somebody in a time of personal crisis in their life. I want to encourage you to find satisfaction in knowing that you are being the hands and the feet of God. You remember in the Gospel of John when Jesus kneeled down and washed the feet of the disciples? He didn't have to do that. He wasn't forced to do that. He was their teacher. He was their creator. He was their master, their Lord, their Savior. And yet he still kneeled down for the sake of building them up and put an apron around his waist and did the work of a servant and washed their feet. And it was because he had a genuine desire to make them better. And so he served them. And then he says, after it was all done in John 13, "For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you." I want to encourage you to remember that. I want to encourage you to walk in love for one another, to be patient with each other when we have different views about things that can be very contentious in our society. I want to encourage you to be mindful of how your actions will affect your neighbor, whether it's their health, whether it's their fear, their spiritual development, whatever it may be. And I want to also encourage you to not make someone feel that you resent it. I want to encourage you to serve in love out of a genuine desire to help someone else, to make this walking in love stuff the new normal way of living.
You've been listening to Light the Way with Dr. Colin Munger, the senior pastor of Shepherd of the Hills Church. If you'd like to hear this message again, stop by our website at lightthewayradio.org. Not only will you find an archive of Pastor Colin's teachings there to listen to, but there you can find out more about our ministry. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," and we want everything we do and say to revolve around that. If you'd like to get behind what we're doing, please visit lightthewayradio.org and learn how you can become a light partner. When you do so today, we'll say thanks by sending you a free copy of Pastor Colin's book, Meet Jesus. In this book, you'll discover 7 miracles of Jesus and the 7 I Am statements he gave in the Gospel of John. All of it was done so we would have a better understanding of him as God. Again, to become a light partner or just receive more information, log on to lightthewayradio.org. Thank you for listening today, and come back next week as Dr. Colin Munger once again delivers another helpful message from God's Word to help us light the way. In the meantime, remember to be a light to someone this week.